Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Excuse me for the brief delay. Religion means a lie. You will now go on with your brother, Kadar Jagante. And only write for New Africa Mondays. I'll try to make this a beautiful New Africa Monday. I got my brother Imam Mujahideen Muhammad right here, the ones and twos with me. And I first like to congratulate and thank and all those great things to our noble audience. You know, thank you for your support. And congratulate you for your human excellence in keeping that good, dignified mind, bodies with us. And let's put on the intro. This was off the mixtape of knowledge. Let's see how that goes.
Kadar Jagante. The mixtape of knowledge. I'd like to welcome y'all this evening. I know you heard these beats before, but check it. Oh Allah, my inner duty is moved. I'm trying to make music, but I'm feeling confused. Perhaps I'm a drifter. Sometimes in my soul, I feel like a moving motion picture. Most of us is moving, but we think forwards is backwards, fast as molasses. So where did that leave us? Exiting at where we began. Never begin to fulfill our destiny greatness. I could relate shit, I hate this when I feel this way. They stomping and stabbing that man, shot his eyes, will he be okay? Oh, that's a glimpse of my reflection. The fact I'm here, Lord, is a blessing. Evil thoughts caressing my skull till it's reformed, like a newborn. To my wife, now I never loved, but my heart's been torn. My community life is like righteous cries for us to wake up. Nat Turner, Frederick Douglass, adjourn the true Harriet Tubman. Because I know my history, am I a rebel? Or once again, is that just lies vented by the devil? Devils keep us spiritually drunk. Selling hell to my brother's head nodding, I guess he feel the funk, huh? My Uncle Charles got ovals in his arms. I know he know the Quran. Still my team fed him Haran, like heroin medicine to his blood drink. He couldn't breathe, he would just shake. And I admit, at this age, the world seemed fastly gone. Men kiss men ill, women bury newborns. Just makes a lot like the people a lot. Kadar Jagante, visions of a Harlem president. My presence has prominent relevance to our race. It's time for candidates who ain't afraid to wash the dirt off their hands. Rap is universal, damn. But my people is thirsty, man. In this land, we pop neighbors, cops raiders. We got pages, whips with flavors, but I don't know one black bodega.
Yes, 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 yes. One of my tracks off the mixtape of knowledge, always a favorite for me, the intro for the mixtape of knowledge. And I thought it was fitting for the title today on New Africa Monday. There's many titles. I mean, you're free to come with your own discussion and conversate with us, talk to us. Many of the great things you see with this program, but the topic I was talking is Black Friday. Is that only it, Oikai and Black Friday? You know, is that the philosophy right now? And I got a few brothers calling in, and I'm going to replay that little snippet in a minute because I felt like that music that I just heard on that selection was signaling, you know, we don't own one black bodega. You know what I mean? So asking that question. So let me get Mujahideen Muhammad. Let me get some other brothers on the line, and we'll definitely appreciate the response for that. Remember Jaden, are you there? Hold on.
Assalamu alaikum.
Huh? Alaikum salam, good brother.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, beloved brother?
Yes, sir. Hanging in there, traveling in motion.
Traveling in motion.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to ask you a quick question today.
Shout out to my sister, Halima. She on the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord, Halima. That's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Definitely. Shout out to the sister, Halima. I want to ask you a few questions. All right. You were in tune with Ferguson, right?
Somewhat, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you remember Jai D. Mohammed? All right. You were in tune. Do you know about the Black boycott, Friday boycott that happened?
Yeah, I heard they shut down almost like 5 or 6 Walmarts that they were protesting. I read some reports.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go on to it a little show. I want to ask you the question before we start off with some of the questions and concerns and even statements. How do you feel about that boycott, and do you think it's all that's necessary? Do you think it's a start? What do you view about the boycott in the state of African America's economy, in the economy?
Yeah,
your position,
in general,
your view.
Yeah, in general, I think it's a step backwards. With the injustice given in the judicial system with the announcement of the non-indictment of the officer who killed Mike Brown. But that's not to blame those who are responding in that way. I think that the leadership that's on the ground that's being shown in the media, portrayed in the media. In fact, not to take a side note, in reference to that, they had one of the CNN correspondents interviewing Jesse Jackson, and they tried to paint that picture as, you know, why are they so mad? You know, why are they enraged? You know, but they're basically responding, as they said, Dr. Martin Luther King, and those are the civil rights, where it says that the protesters that's their voice. You know, protesters is the voice of the unspeakable, something to that effect. But I think in reference to boycott, I think it brings about a certain energy. So I think that energy is good, and I think if they just take that a step further and really reflect upon that, I think it'll be more beneficial because you can only withstand that but for so long, you know, because if they boycott us, you know, it'll be a whole nother, it'll be oppression. That's what's been going on. We've been boycotted. So, yeah, it's a lot.
So you think it's a good start. It's good energy, but we need to do much further, a little further. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's good energy, and it's I'm not going to say it's misdirected because, like I said, they're following a model that was successful in that day when that was all they can do. You know, it was a whole different environment and an element back then, even though there's still some of that brewing today. But overall, there's better strategies, I think, that could be more beneficial. But as I said, it's just a voice for the voiceless. So it begins with that, and then from the voice, you gotta start taking more action. So I'm looking forward to us going down there and giving some insights and developing that energy into building up, you know, rather than.
Yes, sir. We will be in Ferguson too, inshallah, God willing. To let all the audience members know, we will be there real soon. May even have a live broadcast from the situation. Not so much. We definitely have a plan. We have a plan of action to connect with many of our people, many of the people, but also to listen to the concerns. I think that's not necessary. So many of us miss that task to hear, to listen. Now, listen doesn't mean that you don't have a plan of action. You don't exchange. But most of us can't exchange something because we haven't listened to the concern. Or hear the people's hurt and the pain. So I do think, like what you just said, in terms of opening up the show, I played the little clip I'll play again maybe later of the intro mixtape of knowledge, where I asked the question, why is there not one black bodega, which is called a corner store in New York City? That's a word we use for corner store. And it's sad that it is even called a bodega, you know, because most of the Spanish community, when they came, they established these little stores called bodegas. Now, the Arabs have also stores called corner stores, but the whole question in that is that we don't even have a small store most of the time to supply us with juice, you know, not the big products even. I'm not talking about wholesale DJs. talking about just, you know, like almost the vendor size scale, like almost what a Coca-Cola machine can do for the neighborhood. We don't seem to have it, like a gas station. We don't have these little stores, little Sprite. We thirsty on the road. We supply ourselves with that. So New Africa Monday is, of course, you know, a privilege to be here with you. My question is, after we do the boycott, are we becoming reactionary or are we going to be a productive-minded people? Now, what I mean by that is reactionary is part of revolution, to revolt. And I was talking, I don't want to go too deep. Last week when we talked about the revolt, the reword, meaning you've been there before. It's actually the science of a circle revolving, and you know, we know re has that line, reing up in business. You did this before. So re is a word that really signals going back to the origin. But most people think that revolution or revolting or is actually going away from the history of the world. And we need something new. We're tired of this. But to me, it's really not so much going against way from the principle. It puts us back to the essence of humanity. So if you notice with these boycotts, we are going back. We're looking at things that worked in the civil rights movement and other movements, even in the civil rights movement, learned from what our great leader, Dr. King, said he learned from, he was a fan of Gandhi. So this essence, the revolving revolution, what many will see, is really returning back to certain principles. Now, which principle has made us most successful is the real question, as far as the method that we're using. And I think right now we want independence. Many of us want independence. So the show today is to question, are we really wanting independence? And if so, how can we capitalize and create this independence from the demand, the insult, the problem?
I think, let me share this real quick, because I'm about to transition and I'll get back on. I think the soul wants independence, you know. But we have to, like you said, we can't respond to it in an emotional way. And I think it's okay to take a step back, but you got to take a step back to go forward faster and better, you know. So that soul that wants independence and it's responding in an emotional fashion because it was attacked, like you said, evaluate those things that made us successful and then enlighten. We have to enlighten. We have to sanitize. We have to sensitize our emotion with enlightenment, and we have to become an enlightened, not just an emotional, an intelligent community. We also have to become an enlightened community. And I just want to share this forward from this book. This book was published in 1932, before the advent of the Nation of Islam and our great history that we believe is the answer to that enlightenment necessity. It's called The Negro Market, right? Published in the interest of the Negro Press. That it was a joke people put online, Negro meaning Negro, you know, meaning your knee, you can grow no further than your knee, which represent like slavery, so forth and so on. But I want to switch that connotation, Negro, to the new growth, okay? So if you hear me say Negro, I'm coming with the spirit of new growth. This is with the enlightenment. I'm going to just read the forward, and I'm going to kick it back to you, Ismail, inshallah, real quick. It's called,
We're listening, my brother. Go ahead.
Okay. The Negro, I know you're going to eat this one up. The Negro Market. Okay, so no merchandising picture complete without an accurate knowledge of the living conditions of the buyers to whom the appeal is to be made. The purpose of this booklet is to give you a graphic pictorial idea of the living conditions of approximately one-tenth of our population, a market actually larger by far than the entire Dominion of Canada. This market must be compatibly understood and appealed to on its own terms if the many millions of colored people comprising it are to be successful courted as buyers. On every sales chart in many territories widely separated, the failure to reach these people successfully is charged up in the form of increased per capita sales cost. The sales picture in such territories is always inadequate and unbalanced. A large section of community being reached only as an incident to the purchasing power of the remainder. The originality and difference of Negro life will be found a source of mystification and difficulty on all sales charts unless when merchandising to these people, particular attention is paid to their peculiar and secluded position in American life. Now, this forward was just to show those who wanted to target, wanted to take our market. They wanted to target the African-American market. So what they did, they made this pamphlet to show the successes, as you just mentioned. We don't have one black bodega. But in this pamphlet, it shows what we had and how there was a strategy to get that away from us by integrating or getting our market and mixing it with someone who didn't have our best interest at hand. So I just wanted to share that and just transition before I come back on, inshallah.
Wow, that's a powerful, bro. Hey, bro. I mean, that's really the real deal. So what are you exactly, just because I want to focus, I really want to do a little video for you. I got something for you later to listen to, but I wanted to know what are you saying with that right there? What's your purpose with that? What make you feel?
My purpose for sharing that is that not only are we sustaining ourselves in our present condition. Okay, that's the reality. But the reality check would be is that, okay, that wasn't always so, and it was designed for us to be that way. So like we're saying, just to respond to an emotional way to an incident that happened to us in present time, it can get us off away from the new wave that could lead us forward. You know, there's obviously something that's among us that we have a capacity to do to move forward, but if we get caught up in this trial, it'll take us backwards. And we'll be in that stage of limbo and, you know, not being responsible for ourselves, you know. So that's a challenge, man. It's a challenge to get people who's been hurt in a particular manner to get beyond that hurt and see that, okay, that hurt might have set me back or set my people back, but there has to be some type of guidance in that to go forward. You know, because you can't, it's like spilled milk, like they said, you know, the baby spilled milk. All right, well, that's not the only milk. You know, Allah's earth is spacious. The bounties are plentiful, you know, so there's always room for growth. So that new growth, not the Negro, but the new growth. So we just got to say, it's a difficult challenge to address. And I know it's no light matter, you know, it's kind of hard, again, to tell someone who's going through something that, you know, it's better days coming. Just look at what you're waiting for. So that's what I...
Well, once again, it goes into reactionary. A lot of our people, so, well, I'm trying to get to... If we boycott, you know, it's good to boycott, but, you know, one thing I'm looking at, right now, it's a bit big. It's a mission because we have so many issues wrapped in these issues. For instance, we know the civil rights, the denial of rights was a reflection that was given in the buses. The buses wouldn't give us equal access to the seat, even a seat, you know. So when it happened, you know, we're not going to put our money in a place that we use and utilize and also has become made us a victim, use us as a example of overall issue. See, my concern nowadays is that if we boycott, you know, turkey manufacturer, which is great, you know, I China for a day and say, oh, we boycott. You know, first of all, we know our struggle. We can say perhaps that we are connected. The hurt that is hurting us is connected to this corporate structure or the corporate America and agenda. But it's not clear on how that connection, leadership has yet to really explain to the people. I know that connection, but it's real key to explain to people what they're doing. I mean, even in our Salat, in our rituals, we know the importance of understanding the Salat, what are we doing, the ritual. And I find that that light is missing. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. Many people don't even understand what they're doing. Sometimes we don't understand. We can learn from others. I have a debate also I want to talk about. A lot of us get mad at the government itself, and I want to kind of deter, do we understand the difference between protesting the government as and protesting private powers? For instance, it seems to me that many times when it's time to really we should protest government entities and things that the government or sources that get their funds from the government or government entities, such as the MTA, and it's a city entity, we don't really protest. And then when it's time to really step up and protest private entities, we really don't step up in the way we should. So that's been my command. I look at the Jews who protested the system of Germany, but they didn't really specifically go after the Jewish government, the German government, private industry, the banks, or where that wealth was transpiring, who benefited off of that direct situation and where the wealth was stored. And they got the banks to pay them, Swiss banks, and through the Holocaust experience. Now, I want to really, not to deter there, but I want to say, my question, this is an open floor question, is the boycott coming out with is the agenda to really come into a state of existence, not just reactionary, not I'm going to just starve myself and you can't clothe me or you can't food me, you can't feed me for a few weeks or a few days or however it'll last. Because we know that human tendencies, we definitely know that our human behavior, our human element is more stronger than any other element we have in us, even African-American element, the black element, human element. I mean, we know that during our Ramadan, how important it just hunger, just feeding ourselves. We all can experience that. So we know the human impulses do need to be cherished and respected and fed. And my question is, when are we going to start New Africa Mondays is to get us developed, to keep, and we are doing great things ourselves, but as a people, keep encouraging us coming to the fullness of this life. So when are we going to become those producers for ourselves? When are we going to be able to say, hey, I don't want to put my money so much in this store or keep going as a slave? As 7 to 10% of this economy, well, let me create my own store. Because if it is a situation where it's an emergency and I know that I don't get injustice, and I know I'm not getting justice, what makes me so confident that in a state of emergency, say population crisis, say control, that we'd be even able to feed ourselves? So I'm kind of alluding in the show, is this a backwards dependency on the government sometimes? Because what would happen if we can't feed ourselves, we don't make the conscious effort to supply ourselves or wholesale ourselves, what would happen when we can't feed ourselves? Well, you see people say, oh, the government don't care about us. But if we're really looking at it, how many of us talk, and I'm not necessarily of the opinion of the government is this chaotic, but many of us are. And I know the government has problems, I know we have to see, but many of us are very dissatisfied with the state of our justice and things of government and don't trust anything they have to say and don't trust anything. So what I'm saying is if you do have that motivation, would it then be a stretch to say that if there was an emergency or a hunger crisis or a food crisis or a war crisis, that we would have individual business communities supplying their communities, the globe, and making sure those matters are on the storehouse? And what will we be at? Will we be in a situation where we just be economic, poor, deemed weak? Or where will we be at? Will we be really feeding ourselves and fulfilling ourselves? So I'm with Black Friday, I do believe it's a start. I've been, in terms of Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to fast the whole Christmas. You know, the whole 25th of what we consider Christmas in this country, the psychological and effects. And my other question is somehow the psychological effects of white Jesus. And, you know, we had an operation early on, removing the racial images of divine being portrayed. Is the white Jesus affecting us in this ability to do for self? We know what it does in oppression. We know how oppressed we are with not seeing ourselves, or not even seeing ourselves in scripture, many of us people. And also we know it is tainted by having a false perception of that. So my question to you would be, also the audience, is somehow, you know, places like where we see those elements such as the Ku Klux Klan, who I won't call Christian, I would say they're portraying Christian people, would we be so far off to say that this is also dealing with the imagery and the brotherhood of what we consider Christianity? So I want to ask you your thoughts on that, brother. Can you hear me? Well, maybe he paused for a minute. Would you ID? Are you there? Well, he might be paused for a minute. But that's one of my questions. My question with Ferguson and what's going on is the myth still in our minds to say we can't do for self. We can't take that energy because, hey, you know, tomorrow, you know, the economy can go bad and basically they can let go 50% of jobs. And I'm of the opinion that many of our own people will be crying and saying how the government and protesting the government. So my thing is, if we're really going to be an independent society, we want to be independent in nature. We want to be independent thinkers. African-American people, we have to come into independent thinking. So are we going to now do for self? Are we going to now support African-American businesses, African-American radio stations, African-American mediums? We're going to support businesses and not just African-American in the sense of a person, but a person that's cherishing, business that's cherishing the duties to give the values to their community, to provide excellence to their community. And, you know, like there's a brother we know from the community. He has one of the best soap detergents I've seen ever in the market. Brothers and sisters who are actually distributing this product. And I wanted to, we've been having on our show, we go to one of our conventions and display the product. But I think it's important on Religion Means Alive that you are aware of this responsibility, that we have to build ourselves up. And this doesn't mean just supporting our show. We love the fact that you're here, brothers and sisters. But this means locally on any level, to start to make a commitment with the African-American business in your neighborhood and in your area. But also, if you don't have a grocery store, if you don't have a food store, but coming up to with a new, really a revolutionary strategy, you call revolution, I call it evolution, evolving, but come up with a strategy to really supply ourselves, to really clothe ourselves, to shelter ourselves. So are we going to return with independence? That's what I want to ask ourselves today, is that I believe that I see good signs. I do see good signs. I'm not here to criticize. I think that's wrong. I think that when we just, oh, man, why is the boycott? Why is this going on? And something I've been doing for years. Because you know what? I'm not just of the opinion of it in terms of race. I'm really of the opinion that the manipulators, those of society, high standard, have created rituals to make us really lose focus of our human nature And you see that those who have least in society seem to be more concerned on materialistic things. What I mean is, if I'm a TV producer, I don't have an illusion of above me. I know that I'm a creator under God. If I know I can create. God has given me a power to find how to create, the system of the creation, technology of creation, the resources of creation. And with that, I can create for the public. Now, the public will probably fight each other and grab each other. Now the companies, they fight, but they're more united. I mean, Sprint, T-Mobile, all they fight, but they all have their shared freedom space. So they're not fighting the same manner that those who say, oh, man, forget the big guys. Forget rich, you know. I'm happy poor. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be influenced. Well, they'll show you a video on CNN or whatever, and on Black Friday, they lock the gate, run out, shoot each other, hit each other upside the head for a nice brand new Panasonic or television Sony or whatever you want to say with the newest model or iPhone, Apple, you know, people that are supposed to be neighbors. So the neighborly instinct, those instincts go out the window, the human instinct of survival, and almost what you would do in almost a wild animal film. So what I'm saying is that this is a problem not just for African-American people. This has been a problem for American people, people of the brown sort. And many a times, even in our freedoms, we don't acknowledge our freedom of human freedoms, our true freedoms, because we feel that somebody else is going to take that from us. So there's whites in this country, Americans, who, if you notice, when they talk, they're threatened by other groups. They're threatened by Latino workers. They don't even want Obama's speech on immigration to be covered. Be threatened by the facts of African Americans who are trying to better themselves and maybe get their own neighborhood under control. Some groups are. I'm not going to say that's the whole makeup, but we know that there's an element in this country that is threatened still by this evolution, the evolving of human life, evolving of rights and justice and freedom for all. I think our president was clear to say this has shown in this event that our country could be much better. You see, brothers and sisters, this country could be much better. So he's telling the masses, he's telling the people, he's saying that we have not even taken full advantage of what this freedom allows, this freedom of rights and justice for all. And in the Islamic tradition of the Nation of Islam, we used to say Islam is freedom, justice, equality. I think we should really still say it. That was on our flag. To remember what we're even in religion to be aided for. So I just wanted to say that I think that that's a ritualistic in some sort of, to say, hey, little guy, look at you. You don't talk much about your improving your life. You don't talk much about improving. So you let all the material, you give it to me. You, matter of fact, many of you don't even think you have the power to influence material in a material environment. Yet, you're ready to kill each other on the material. So what did that show you? What did that show you? That shows you love. You live more by this rule than anybody else. So we find that sometimes not responding to your responsibility is a sign that you are under that slavery. What do I mean by that? Well, you think that it's out of reach, out of touch. You think it's so big. In the idle times, in the times of where we see idol God, many of the people didn't even touch the God sometimes. Sometimes they wouldn't even be able to touch it if you wasn't a high chief or some sort, because they felt that the idol or the thing that they were, the idea sometimes, was so great that they, as petty humans, couldn't even go near it. Now, this idea was ruling their whole life. So it was, when God used the messenger many times, one of the key things, the messenger, we know is definitely we have it in Ibrahim, we know that he would ask, you know, how something so over your life that is yet made from hands themselves, a hand itself, and you make it, not even as just made like the moon or the sun, something that's made from creation. that we don't necessarily have a piece of it, but it's made from our own hands, the people who made it. So the real sin, too, was not just on the people who were being taken advantage of. It was all those who are, Ibrahim's father was one, who created the idols, who knew that they were created and still made the people accept his idea. So we know that we do have materialists who function in this diabolical manner, this very dangerous manner, in giving you backwards ideas, backwards thinking. So we want to make sure, I want you to show, but I know that what I'm saying here is that many of our people who are going to our messages or mosques, going to our Christian, want the good things in life, want good things, want good morality, want to be good, want to be fair, want to come into their own independent thinking under God, but many times you say, okay, let's create a factory in this neighborhood. Let's create workforce like we're trying to do right now with our company. Let's create a new working task force for this area. And many of our so-called middle class, brother and sister, I'm kind of busy. And they'll give you a monetary thing. What you're busy with? Are you creating your own task force, your own business? No, I'm busy with my job. See? So they use this southern resource, so the money's so big that they can't escape it, right? So what I'm saying is that that ritual that we see Black Friday is a ritual of how many of the people who so-called trying to leave are middle, lower people are really basing their worth and their creativity and they're basing it on that acceptance of this thing is actually larger than me. Thing is larger than me. So I wanted to say that on Black Friday that we gotta take notice. We gotta take notice that you are in the middle of one of the biggest times in history and crisis. You're in a crisis. But the crisis is not just race relations. There are many crises in this today's time. Energy crisis, racial crisis, economy crisis, okay? Freedom crisis, freedom rights for all, sexual crisis, sexual orientation crisis. How will we raise the kids? And I don't want to discuss this too much on my broadcast. Crisis of these issues. Now, we're in the time of what we call scripture. And I'll get Imam Mujahideen back on the line. Imam Mujahideen, are you there?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about the time of scripture. Alaykum salam, my brother. Peace be unto you. We're talking about the time of scripture. So I wanted to say that it's time on the show to become a light, alive, and respond to life. The brother said, don't prepare to die anymore. Let's prepare to live. So we want to bring that message of life. And so that was key. I just felt that the need to share that with you today on New Africa Monday. Blessed to be with you guys and the audience members who are checking in, trying to get to your call. But that's the key thing for me is to take this momentum of this movement. Don't downplay it, young people. Elders, brothers and sisters, do not downplay the energy of being fed up. Being fed up. Soul one injustice. See, the soul of one justice sometimes when the mind don't even understand. Mind can't even understand what's going on sometimes. Can't even decipher. So we don't, a lot of times we don't turn mental, you know. We turn into our soul. Crying. They call us a soul people. But you know that on top of your shoulders is your head. And that represents leadership too. So we know that there has to be a time where though the soul is demanding the justice and the heart is a powerful tool, has to be something there that says turns the light on in the mind and wakes the body up and tells the body how to move and where to move and what to move and constantly to see it. So we want to wake you up we want to wake you up, and I know many want to wake us up, and we were trying to wake ourselves up to be enlightened people, and the people who have light, like the Imam Mujahideen was speaking of. So I just want to make sure that we don't have a wasteful situation, because you can waste too. You know that? You can waste. You could. Yeah, I think one of the biggest signs of African Americans, the leadership and our people, where they really are fed, is that there's been many wasteful activities for our energy. We know that gangs have got a lot of our young men, and if you take away the negative, the criminal element of gangs, we know how productive a group of men can be together. We know seeing our men on the corner, you know, each other is absent of everything we do. Now, my show with many debaters during this Ferguson is not to say that I think we should be shot because we're on the corner, or I think we should be killed or gunned down because we don't have something to do. I understand your pain. Matter of fact, I don't think you could get more blacker than what the Nation of Islam, what it taught from our community. So I definitely am with you in terms of the cultural and what has happened to us to make us more susceptible to this thing. But I'm always a believer that your problem should be your solution. And what I mean by that is that our problem should, we should have the solution for our problem. So that's what I meant about the white Jesus symbol. Is it hurting us that we were taught that we don't have a solution for our problems, that a savior will be born to resurrect us, and that savior will so-called be of white skin, white flesh? So is that hurting us in the reason why we don't supply our industries? And I think you'll find that is a disturbance there. There's a disturbance there. Now, is that the prime root why we don't go to school? I won't be so far to say that is the prime root. I mean, I think that we still can go to school. I think that if we really want to get back at this structure and this system, is we have to accept the responsibility for it. If we really don't believe that we should be going to Africa or to another land, when we believe that our grandfathers and our parents fought for America and built America, as we say all the time, I think we have to take responsibility for America. And you should see with the president and election and others that just because you take responsibility for a place or a country doesn't mean it's an easy ride. And Imam Mujahideen is doing some great things locally. And I think that he reminds us of how to keep pushing at it, keep struggling, no matter how hard things are with leadership and things that you keep getting where you, they used to say in the civil rights, and you get in where you fit in, you know. And I think these little terms we haven't passed to the youth. I mean, I think I say that to a lot of youth right now. They'll say, huh? What you mean? You know, not to say they're not intelligent. They may just take it out of context, may think of it as in a whole new format. So this is just how many of the simple values that we have had as a group life have not been preserved, because we haven't preserved it. And we need entities, we need instruments, we need music, we need sayings, we need commercials, we need slogans, we need all that good stuff that new people with new light, with new ideas, with new energy, with new freedom, with new responsibility does in this current structure, or a structure that is against that potential. So I just want to make sure that we're not backwardsly still hoping on. If we want to be independent, let's believe in our independence. Let's believe in ourselves. We don't necessarily have to believe in the enemy. Someone could be your enemy and still not be a true enemy. You won't understand that. I'll say that again. Somebody could be your enemy and still not be a true enemy. Because we got to remember, Shaitan, Satan, wants to corrupt human hearts and make us feel that this world is against us, that nothing in this world, and God has showed us too many examples how he'll give you protectors and friendship in all walks of life. So many of the backwards people have been inborn too by hate, been created by hate. So just because you hate me, don't mean I should hate you. I just like that hate you have for me. I just like that you're not connected to your human excellence. But don't let them form us with their ideology, because then you become somewhat like that hater. And this has been a scheme on Satan himself on oppressed people. If we look at the Jewish history, many of the Jews were oppressed and was in a very bad situation coming from Israel before the creation of that state, a very bad state in Germany and wars. And what we find is that a few years later, we see them in very bad shape, not in the sense of themselves just being that and then we see a fight that is actually causing others to say, hey, we're oppressed here. And whether you stand on their side or non-side or the other side, you have to say that the whole situation is sad, human life. So if we're not careful as oppressed people, we may not truly learn from our situation and really be against oppression. Really move as a beacon of light. So let us not let manipulators try to make us hard-hearted, hardened. And I think that an African-American really has to get an A in the way he has mercy many times. But you know, if you do anything in imbalance, God wants you to have a body, and every body part of the body is a sign, but it also... it should be balanced. If one part of your body is too heavy, you have what you call a regular body. You have not working, correct. So you don't want to put too much pressure on your feet or your hands or your arms. So we know that being so caring, so much of heart and love has made us imbalanced. And many times what happens when your foot has too much pressure, your arms have too much pressure, you get tired, you want to throw the thing out of your arm, you want to kick the thing under your foot. So we want to make sure that we understand as a body that we don't want to have too much pressure. We want to follow these rules of engagement, these rules, so we can have an imbalanced body. We can be in a balanced body. And I think that this country even has a system called checks and balances for this body of governance. And start to learn from the country. That's because you don't agree to everything in this country, you don't agree to the rules, you feel that you're oppressed, doesn't mean you can't learn. You think the Panthers and the Nation of Islam was not looking at things in this country and learning from these things? And learning from things? Now, I'm not here to sell you to create your own group and just go off, but I'm here to say that even when you have a strategy or a nation within a nation, or where we came from, you have to learn from what has even formed you. You know, what's the motive behind it? And I think Imam Muhammad was a clearest leader in giving us the motive, not so much just the reaction of a people, but what was behind even their motive. What's the hidden idea that they have accepted as a people that has created? And we'll find that ideas are really behind most of the chaos. I can't even find Satan. We can't even find Satan in the sense of saying, where he at? Where are we going to go? Go to the mountain looking for some? It made society so spooked, looking for some red horn figures. But I could go all around and tell you Satan's ideas, things he passed on in other societies and groups, survival of the fittest, and not enough to go around. These are things that's forming people. I mean, when people are formed like that, then people use greed. So what I started to show up to show Black Friday in the sense that what is it showing? It's not enough to go around in this cell. You know, but do you know if each and one of you put a dollar up as a community trust group and y'all had five members that you elected, you could get better rates than Black Friday? You could get your own wholesale rates from country themselves. You have your own store and blocks. So it definitely, when it breaks down the communication of your self-power and what you can do to help yourself, you become the more dependable. So I want to say to those great young men and sisters and brothers and sisters all across this country who want to do the right thing, I'm motivated by your willpower right now and your desire, But I just want you to see the light, to say to yourself that come into your body, come into your mind, come into your own expression. You should have these things regardless of Ferguson was happening or not. We should have our own community and protect our own community. Awesome. There needs to be a defense. You know, I'm not of a blind fellowship to say, I believe in you having a community and rules and believe anybody should just go among that community and disrupt it. See, but we have to put the ideas in the proper context. We're distraught by being assaulted and hurt, but yet we not even protecting the area. So let's not let anyone come in the area because they feel that there's no desire or no living. And I feel ashamed of many of the African American people who don't see a connection with crime. You know, I know you're saying out there, oh, black and black crime doesn't have nothing to do with this. When a white man or some other man, you know, they have a crime, they don't say, you know, look how many whites do this and molest each other every year. I know you what you're saying, and I feel for you, brother. I understand what you're saying, but you gotta understand. You gotta take everything with context. We are the most, I would say, targeted group in America, period. Then second of all, we have seen the spike of crime happen during the time where we were not in criminal behavior as we are today. And we still have elements of it, but the way we see young kids at 13, 12 years old losing their life in a weekend, 25 murders. My question to you is, can that go on? Is that healthy for us as a community? Is it healthy for us to not also take the time to address our concerns? Because, you know, even in the neighborhood, even with groups of people, they have a burglar alarm system or something. I do security, so I see many clients of mine. When there's some type of situation that happens, you know, yes, they're mad, upset, with trying to find out what happened, but then they have to review their system. That happens mostly all the time with responsibility. They say, oh, we were doing this wrong. We have to stop doing this method. This makes us more susceptible to being invaded. So as African-American people, well, I'm asking us the question today, are we going to have that conversation? Is it even going to be a conversation to go down? Was it even going to be a conversation to be spoken about of what makes us more susceptible, what makes us more easy to be exploited in these situations? Because we know this is not the first situation where we see assault and attack. We know that. We could go into the 70s. But we see a lot of steam, and then sometimes the steam dies. And I'm not here to promote that steam to die. I don't want to say that what I'm seeing in Ferguson is a situation where it's going to be short-lived. And I'm not here to say that. I'm not here to disrupt any of that good energy to address this change. But I just want to see us fully come into this state. And we will be in Ferguson, God willing. And I just wanted to say to you, brothers and sisters, that follow a boycott. Follow a protest with action, with help, with love, with dedication, with sincerity. And one of the brothers online, young brother, he said, I don't protest, I progress. Now, I want you to know that, again, I'm not here to disrupt your protest, because I think there is times when needed protest, and I think this is one of those times. I'm not here to, I definitely agree to Ferguson protesting it. And when you look at the facts and you look at what's going on with the law department, with the cruelty, with the not having answers and the mother and her losing her child, there's always that's a beautiful freedom that's here in America. So I'm not of that opinion to ever criticize a protest. But the majority of the leadership and the people who should be trying to aid the mother and the child and protect their brother and their sister, I really am urging you to come into this new Africa. Come into this new Africa, not the old Africa. Not the Africa where we got invaded and sold into slavery because we was promised more gold than we had in our present one in terms of myth. But not that Africa. Not the Africa of competing with each other in a sense where we didn't hold the social value strong. Not that Africa. Not that Africa that been taken so far out of creation that doesn't they see themselves as involved in the creative process at all. And not the Africa to be spooked, mystified, and reactionary people. Not that Africa. And not the Africa to get their education all from an alternative source and not making any strides in education independently. And like I said, this doesn't have to be just on an institutional level, even though I respect and I believe that's our next fulfillment. It could be as simple as buying a microscope instead of buying a video game system for your children. You know, let them study their creation. Let them study the ants. So give them something, a task to do outside of reading from a book what an ant does. So I'm really just encouraging us to come into an independent model, a model of independence in America. And that's the beauty of America. But don't think that there won't be manipulators who went to work against this freedom. Don't think we don't still have those who are making themselves clear to be enemies of our goals and our strategy. Even though they think they're enemies of us, they enemies are really of the freedom that we want for ourselves. They don't want that. They don't accept that because many of them are eating so much in a way that we're dependent on. And the third part was, did guns have a play and should we be protesting gun companies? I know many others have said, what is this brother saying? What is he saying right now? Well, you'll go research this. How much of the equipment in Ferguson was used by war strategists, those who make money off of providing armed resources, armed protection, gun protection. This is a big budget, too, and I think we fail to realize how much of a big business crime is in guns. Do we ever protest? Not just, like I said, I'm not really talking about the exterior influence. Like Mujahideen said, he said, if we protest us, we may have a problem. Even Mujahideen. So I'm not talking about the NRA right now. I'm talking about us as a community. Are we willing to have a 24-hour protest of no one in the neighborhood is to carry a weapon like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had, even with that for a while? I think if we can challenge these things, we could actually use this time and have a great triumph or victory ahead. So this is something to think on the end of this broadcast. I actually met Mujahideen. Do you have anything to add before we close off?
I mean, you covered a lot, and one of the things that I wanted to go over that sparked my mind when you said it, it made me think about how our movement with this new perspective came about, where it became publicized, where they did a special on Mike Wallace did a special called The Hate That Hate Produced, right? And they were showing how we were growing, you know, as a community, as a Muslim community. And there was reports that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in reference to that, you know, that wasn't our, you know, even Malcolm X, you know, some of the comments he made in reference to people who would say that the nation spoke hate teaching, you know, when they were clearly identifying a problem, identifying a nature or a habit or behavior that was in a particular people and using scripture. He was saying that, you know, that was their guilty conscience, you know. So, and that's the act of the accuser, you know. The accuser is accusing you of something that's in their heart, and that's their action, you know, being hate, and warmongers and so forth and so on.
That was one thing. Another thing was this concept of the boycott guy. I can't help but I have to say this, you know, because the more you say that, because I said, look, it says boycott. A boycott, like, is a crib, right? Like, so what's a mancot? Right? A mancot is a home, an establishment, right? So that's what I think you were calling us to that, you know. It's one thing to, you know, protest ill in our community, but the next level will be to, okay, take that energy and start developing, you know, your community. Because a lot of things that people are getting outraged about, they're doing it in places that they don't even frequent. A lot of, you know, minorities, underclass, poor citizens, you know, they don't frequent the governmental facilities except through an indictment or for assistance and welfare. But they don't come out in large numbers like that to vote. They don't come out in large numbers like that to even listen to city council, you know, school district meetings, stuff like that. So if we take the system that we want to give us justice, but that we don't get involved in the things that gives us, it's almost contradicting one thing. On the total sense, but not in the specific sense, you know, but if you look at it in the total sense, you know, but, so we have to give that critique and challenge
our
people.
That's a powerful critique.
We got to challenge our people, because it's like, if you're not going to tell me the truth about my own weaknesses, it's going to be hard for me to get over those weaknesses, you know. So we need our brothers and sisters to just be truthful, man, and face the reality. You know, we've been underappreciative of our freedom here. We've taken it for granted. We got caught up in a lot of the ills of the society and the culture of society, political, not necessarily the political side, but the culture, the ills of the culture, entertainment society. You know, we have to admit it, man. I mean, if you lazy, you know, the sleeping giant, they say that's another myth, you know. If you sitting by, yeah, you're comfortable in the riches of this society, but you're not putting up the fort. Now, of course, like you say, you know, they're going to say, well, they did all this and they established. That's true. That's true. Very true. But again, be accountable for their own deeds. I mean, you know, there's a collective soul, right? You mentioned that, and not, maybe not in that term, but there's a collective soul. So as a collective soul, we're going to be accountable, but also individually we're going to be accountable, you know. So it's time out for the pacifier, you know. It's like you got to get the real nutrients, man. And the best way to do that is just face the reality, man, and accept it. And let's be adult enough and become community builders, man. That's when you really, you know, a man, a human.
Now you're talking about it. Now you're talking about
it. Because other than that, it's like you playing out, man. Like, and
yes,
it's not a light situation, like I said, you know. So I'm not trying to make this humorous, but it's like you can't take building blocks just to be, you know, ABC in kindergarten. I mean, you actually have to, you know, respect the sciences of nature, man, and community development.
You gotta respect the sciences. I like to highlight what you're saying, brother, because it's key to our audience to understand. You know, you're saying you gotta respect the full process, right? The science
one thing,
of it.
One thing, let me say this also. One thing that we have, you know, this concept, and that's what I'm talking about, the enlightenment. The enlightenment is that, you know, they gave us a scripture on purpose that played down the most advanced features of the human being, which is the intellect. You know, when they give you something where you don't question it, you don't think about it, you just take it on face value, you know, it becomes artificial in a sense, you know. But to take it to that next level, man, it's like, you know, God Almighty, Allah, he never changed his way. You know, he gives us so many signs of, and you mentioned earlier about that balance of the spiritual and material, man, is equally harmful. For example, real quick. So one example they talked about during the life of the prophet about marriage, right, marriage and fornication. And the prophet, peace be upon him, he said that there's great reward in marriage and in sex, really, and in legal intercourse, sexual intercourse with your wife. It's great benefit in that. And they said, how is it great benefit in that? You know, And he said, how will we get rewarded? How is it a reward to have sexual relations, you know, with your wife? He said, well, isn't it a penalty, or isn't it a sin to do it unlawfully? You know, so that same logic, like, you know, if it's a benefit to advance in spiritual discipline, religious guidance, wouldn't it also be, you know, the same benefit to advance in the human sciences and in the political sciences, if it's beneficial, you know, to the human being, you know, because God, He didn't make us a half of a person, you know, we're a complete human being. So that's what I'm saying. All these things, man, it goes very deep, you know, and it gets beyond just, like you said, that reactionary response. You know, He hit me. You know. How long are we going to say He hit me? You know. Oh. I'm going to hit him back. Okay. He killed me. I'm going to kill him back, right? They said eye for eye, tooth for tooth, you know. And that's taken out of context, big time, you know. But because if that was the logic, then you would have to take that on every area. You can't just say that when you're getting wrong. See, most people use that when they're getting wrong. They say, well, you hit me, I hit him back. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, okay. Well, you got to have an eye to be, you know what I mean? So like, you got to develop your own vision. You got to establish your own communities for you to say, oh, he did this to me, and I'm doing this to him. You know. So it's just a lot. Like, I think how you bring it to a head is just what we're doing now. You know, addressing it, challenging each other, calling out the obvious, but also accepting there's a difficulty. And we have to accept it. Most people don't want to accept it. That's why it's in Revelation. You have to accept the difficulty because it's hard. You know. So, yeah, man, I'm always happy to listen and just be a part of this conversation, man. But also, like we saying, we got action steps also that has to be taken. Yeah. Because most of the people are really it's not as close to them as it's close to us. You know what I mean? Like all these issues that we go through as a people really is just, you know, it becomes a comedic strip, you know, on someone else's cultural expression, you know, because they still living every day. They doing what they doing. I mean, if it's a day in us concept, we gotta really hold that up. We can't just say, you know, it's them versus us, and then we only us when they come against us. That's kind of bad. Yeah, man, let's not stop now, man. As you say, man, you know, can't stop now. Pioneers, man. You know, I always give a shout out to the pioneers, man, because they did a lot of things. You know, they took a lot, and that's another thing that, you know, the young people got to reflect on too, man. It's like, you know, we be thinking we doing something on our own, but like we come from somewhere, and not just even before, not even just like you said, the old Africa, but like you said, this new Africa, man. There's a history here with the new people. We are new people. You know, so we got to respect that, man. I take that for granted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now. You there? In and out. But yeah, let me share a little more of this. Where is that book at? Just a couple more highlights. This will come back on. Some of the subtitles or the chapter titles. In fact, I gotta share this. This is amazing, man. So this is, again, as I said, this is circa 1930, right after, this is beautiful. That Great Depression, right? They call it the Great Depression. From the market and my time. I knew that was going to happen. Isma, you there? Yeah, let me share this, though. Much progress has been made in improving the health and increasing the lifespan of the American Negro. Colored children show the greatest improvement in mortality of any age group. The four communicable diseases of childhood, namely measles, scarlet fever, whooping cough, and I don't know if it's diarrhea. Diphtheria, D-I-P-H-T-H-E-R-I-A. Again, D-I-P-H-T-I-A. Show together a decline of over 40% in the interval between 1911 and 1928. The death rates for white and colored children are no longer very far apart. This shows that colored mothers have not been slow in learning how to care for and feed their babies in accordance with the best practice of the day. This is good news, dear believers. We have a rich history, not just before we were slaves. After we were slaves, there's a rich history that we rarely review. So yeah, it was attacked by the government going way back. They said the first homeland terrorist attack was back in the bombing of the Rosewood and those other communities in Oklahoma, so forth and so on. So, Isma, you back? I gotta jump off real quick. One last thing I have to say. There are in America today, again, this is in that area of 1911 to 1928, 190 hospitals and training schools conducted by Negroes, 54 accredited nursing schools. ...4,000 Negro physicians, 5,000 graduate trained Negro nurses, 59 departments of health and employing colored nurses, 21 hospitals using colored interns, 66 hospitals using colored graduate nurses, 17,874 Negro nurses trained in home nursing, 2,000 Negro dentists, 262 Negro osteopaths. And it goes on and on and on, showing the great progress we have made coming out of slavery into the new millennium. Let us not forget that as we go into the next, as we in, we're already in it, 21st century. But we always want to encourage us to increase in knowledge and increase in faith.